Hi, this is Tony Bruschi. You're about to listen to our brand new podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia. Being a brand new show, we need to let other folks know that this thing exists so we can keep doing it. I'd greatly appreciate your help in that effort by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, and I'm going to make it worth your while as well. We're going to give away a $200 Amazon gift certificate to one person who left us a review. All you have to do is leave that review on Apple Podcasts, take a screenshot of it, and then send it to me. Send it to review@darksideofwiki.com. So, again, to review, leave the review at Apple Podcasts, take the screenshot, and then send it to me. review@darksideofwiki.com. That's the email address. review@darksideofwiki.com. Very soon, I'll select one person to get that $200 Amazon gift card as a thank you for leaving that review and letting other folks know we exist. Also, be sure to share us on social media, let your friends and family know, and be sure to press that subscribe button as well as we get another great podcast off the ground. I hope you enjoy The Dark Side of Wikipedia. A relaxing steamboat ride to a church picnic turns into pandemonium as the boat catches fire and begins to sink. All you have to do is put on your life jacket and jump. Imagine the terror of witnessing those who jump being dragged to their death by the very life jacket worn to save them. This is the story of the General Slocum disaster.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
The P.S. General Slocum was a sidewheel passenger steamboat built in Brooklyn, New York in 1891. During her service history, she was involved in a number of mishaps, including multiple groundings and collisions. On June 15, 1904, General Slocum caught fire and sank in the East River of New York City. At the time of the accident, she was on a chartered run carrying members of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church, German Americans from Little Germany, Manhattan, to a church picnic. An estimated 1,021 of the 1,342 people on board died. The General Slocum disaster was New York area's worst disaster in terms of loss of life until September 11th, 2001. It is the worst maritime disaster in the city's history and the second worst maritime disaster on United States waterways. The events surrounding the General Slocum fire have been explored in a number of books, plays, and movies. I remember my high school musical was the General Slocum. It was go, go, General Slocum. That's how we did it.
That was go, go Power Rangers. And no, that was not a thing.
No, we made it into a musical. It was portrayed that way. It was bye, bye, Slocum.
That's terrible.
Bye, bye, Birdie.
At least anybody that did survive has long died of just natural causes, so they're not completely offended by you.
Well, the only reason I said that is because it was portrayed in multiple books, plays, and movies. So I just kind of went down that path.
Well, not all plays are happy musicals. Sure. So it's not like they turned it into a, you know, song and dance.
There's a lot of plays that are based on horrible shit that have been turned into like happy, almost satirical takes on reality.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's one about the General Slocum.
We're not watching that.
No. So what drew you into to this one? Jenny is the one who curated today's episode of The Dark Side of Wikipedia. I'm Tony Bruschi. That's Jenny Bruschi. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to press subscribe at every platform you're listening to us on.
Okay, so it's kind of a long story, but I'll sum it up. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite TV shows is American Housewife. Mm-hmm. And one of the characters on this show is a little girl, very much like our daughter, Harper, who's very anxious. And she obsessed over the terror of the General Slocum.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never heard of it until she brought it up, and she was just, you know, going off on a rant about it in one of the scenes of the show. And mm-hmm. I thought, that does sound terrible. I need to find out more about that because I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
So that's what first, I guess, brought it to my attention. And the more I started looking into it, the more I thought it'd be perfect for this show because it is just as bad as it gets.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, and as we go through this and hearing what all went wrong, lots of human failures.
Yeah.
In this one where, yes, obviously there's elements where we're beyond the control, but then it's like, well, if we could fuck it up, they kind of fucked it up
mm-hmm.
in some ways. So people have always been fuck ups and horrible and generally not trustworthy is, mm-hmm. is the lesson we learn out of the General Slocum.
Yeah.
Essentially, if you're going to put your trust in the people you're supposed to trust, prepare to be disappointed.
There you go.
Is the lesson of the General Slocum. Yeah. So this is a really interesting story. Let's continue on with not the tale, but the true story of the General Slocum. General Slocum was built by Divine Burtis Jr., a Brooklyn boat builder who was awarded the contract on February 15, 1891. Her keel was 235 feet long and the hull was 37.5 feet wide, constructed of white oak and yellow pine. General Slocum measured 1,284 tons gross and had a hull depth of 12.3 feet. General Slocum was constructed with three decks, three watertight compartments, and 250 electric lights. General Slocum was powered by a single-cylinder surface-condensing vertical beam steam engine with a 53-inch bore and 12-foot stroke built by W&A Fletcher Company of Hoboken, New Jersey. Steam was supplied by two boilers at a working pressure of 52 pounds per square inch. General Slocum was a side-wheel boat. Each wheel had 26 paddles and was 31 feet in diameter. Her maximum speed was about 16 knots. The ship was actually manned by a crew of 22, including Captain William H. Van Schneck and two pilots. General Slocum was named for Civil War General and New York Congressman Henry Warner Slocum. She operated in the New York City area as an excursion steamer for the next 13 years under the same ownership. General Slocum experienced a series of mishaps following her launch in 1891. 4 months after her launching, she ran aground off Rockaway. Tugboats had to be used to pull her free. A number of incidents occurred during 1894. On July 29th, while returning from Rockaway, with about 4,700 passengers, General Slocum struck a sandbar with enough force that her electrical generator went out. The next month, General Slocum ran aground off Coney Island during a storm. During this grounding, the passengers had to be transferred to another ship. In September of 1894, General Slocum collided with the tug R.T. Sire in the East River, with General Slocum sustaining substantial damage to her steering. In July of 1898, another collision occurred when General Slocum collided with Amelia near Battery Park. On August 17, 1901, while carrying what was described as 900 intoxicated anarchists from Paterson, New Jersey, some of the passengers started a riot on board and tried to take control of the vessel. The crew fought back and kept control of the ship. The captain docked the ship at the police pier, and 17 men were taken into custody by police. In June of 1902, General Slocum ran aground with 400 passengers on board. With the vessel unable to be freed, the passengers had to camp out overnight while the ship remained stuck. And then came the 1904 disaster. It seemed like a nice track record. It seemed like one of those you could get on and you could be like, I feel safe on this boat.
I think I would have renamed it the General Fuck Up, because it's just, there's no way you could have paid me to take a ride on that boat after all those things.
Were all the boats this fallible, I guess? Was it something where it's like the technology wasn't there and steering these things was a bitch, and it was like you were bound to have this level of fuckery? Or was it just this is a bad boat and a bad captain? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, and who knows if it was the same captain the whole time.
I don't know.
It could have easily just been kind of a cursed boat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they say things like that happen. They say certain ships are just cursed.
Why is that? What do you think that is?
It just has a track record of just like this. It just has problem after problem, and it doesn't matter who's driving it or, you know, or what's going on or who's on it. It just has problem after problem.
Yeah. Is that in part due to the management of who's taking care of the boats, where it's like if you have mismanagement, you're bound to have problem after problem after problem? Or do you think it actually goes down to there being a curse on something, where something is just like, maybe curse is the wrong word. I don't know. Like there's lemon cars, you know, where it's like, it's just, you happen to get all the bad parts on this car and you got the lemon. Is that what we're talking about with a boat like this, or is it something different?
I don't know. I think it's something different in this case, because most of those instances were not necessarily mechanical failure. It was more operational. It ran aground how many times?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, and now the other thing though is back in those days, I don't know if they had dredged the East River to make it deeper or if that was a common problem for boats to run aground in the East River.
Yeah.
That I don't know. But I would just think after hearing the name General Slocum in the news that many times or reading about it, I wouldn't want to take a ride.
It's not the one you would sign up your church group.
No.
To go on an outing?
No.
Let's use the one where all the anarchists tried to take over the boat. Yeah, it's a great one for the Lutheran get-together over here. Who's bringing the Lefse? Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be, yeah. Well, it's interesting when we're talking about curses and stuff with ships and seafaring. I want to use the word seafaring in a sentence.
Seafaring?
Faring or faring?
Seafaring.
It could be either, couldn't it?
Nope, you're just wrong.
Are you sure it's not like where people mispronounce names and it's like...
It's not like where you say wagon and I say wagon. Uh-huh. It's seafaring.
Seafaring.
That's safari. No.
My favorite recently has been people that call him Bernie Saunders.
That's just stupid.
It's like you can't change a last name.
No.
Of all things that you can change, names are not one of them. Mm-hmm. And that's... From language to language, like names never change. So why the fuck are you changing the enunciation of someone's last name? Whether they like him or not, that's his last name. It's like, that's how it's said. It's not Saunders.
Yeah. I mean, I have no opinion on him. I just think it's stupid when you have political commentators that are just like saying the name wrong. It's like, you just went down 10 notches as far as what I thought of you, as far as being a legit person to talk to about this.
I think some people do it to sound more sophisticated, quite honestly, and it makes him just sound like a dipshit.
Well, let's just change everybody's name to sound more sophisticated.
Yeah. I do not. Are they hearing it? Is it something different where they're hearing it incorrectly and then that's how they end up enunciating it because their ears are like not picking up the sharpness of a vowel?
No, I think they're just trying to sound smarter. So let's just start going by Bruce Gay.
Exactly. Like the Bruce Gays.
We're the Bruce Gays.
I don't get it. Should we continue on?
Yeah.
I think I had another point, but I've lost it. Let's continue on with the fine story of the General Slocum. The The General Slocum worked as a passenger ship taking people on excursions around New York City. On Wednesday, June 15, 1904, the ship had been chartered for $350 by St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Little Germany District in Manhattan. This was an annual rite for the group, which had made the trip for 17 consecutive years, a period when German settlers moved out of Little Germany for the Upper East and West Sides. Over 1,400 passengers, mostly women and children, boarded General Slocum, which was to sail up the East River and then eastward across the Long Island Sound to Locust Grove, a picnic site in Eaton's Neck, Long Island. The ship got underway at 9:30 a.m. As it was passing East 90th Street, a fire started in the lamp room. The forward section, possibly caused by a discarded cigarette or match. It was fueled by the straw, oily rags, and lamp oil strewn around the room. The first notice of a fire was at 10 a.m. Eyewitnesses claim the initial blaze began in various locations, including a paint locker filled with flammable liquids and a cabin filled with gasoline. Captain Van Schlack was not notified until 10 minutes after the fire was discovered. A 12-year-old boy had tried to warn him earlier, but was not believed. Although the captain was ultimately responsible for the safety of the passengers, the owners had made no effort to maintain or replace the ship's safety equipment. The fire hoses had been allotted to rot and fell apart when the crew tried to put out the fire. The crew had never practiced a fire drill, and the lifeboats were tied up and inaccessible. Some claim they were wired and painted in place. Survivors reported that the life preservers were useless and fell apart in their hands. Desperate mothers placed life jackets on their children and tossed them into the water, only to watch in horror as their children sank instead of floated. Most of those on board were women and children who, like most Americans of the time, could not swim. Victims found that their heavy wool clothing absorbed water and weighed them down in the river. It has been suggested that the manager of the life preserver manufacturer placed iron bars inside the cork preservers to meet minimum weight requirements at the time. Many of the life preservers have been filled with cheap and less effective granulated cork and brought up to proper weight by the inclusion of the iron weights. Canvas covers rotted with age split and scattered the powdered cork. Managers of the company, Nonpareil Corkworks, were indicted but not convicted. The life preservers had been manufactured in 1891 and had hung above the deck unprotected from the elements for 13 years. Captain Van Schalick decided to continue his course rather than run the ship aground or stop at a nearby landing. By going into heavy winds and failing to immediately ground the ship, he fanned the fire. He later argued he was trying to avoid having the fire spread to riverside buildings and oil tanks. Flammable paint also helped the fire spread out of control. Some passengers jumped into the river to escape the fire, but the heavy women's clothing of the day made swimming almost impossible and dragged them underwater to drown. Many died when the floors of the overloaded boat collapsed. Others were battered by the still-turning paddles as they tried to escape into the water over the sides. So there you go.
Yeah.
Leave it up to people.
Could you imagine what was, to meet the weight requirements, you put in there something that obviously is going to weigh you down.
Mm-hmm. It's baffling.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where never doubt the power of stupid people.
Yeah.
Never doubt what they may be capable of doing or not doing.
Yeah.
With the hopes of never getting caught, or by the time people figure out what happened, they're long gone and out of the way of of fire. But yeah, I don't know how on earth you would reckon that and make any sense of all of the things that were done by people to totally make that a horrible situation.
I guess what surprises me beyond all of that is the fact that most of the population back then did not know how to swim.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of am wondering, at what point in history did they decide, hey, everybody, let's get your kids in swim lessons and let's make this a thing to where almost everybody knows how to swim.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's still a large population of people that just never learned how to swim, but there's plenty of people that know how to swim now. It's more uncommon to find somebody who can't swim.
Sure.
Most people can, you know. I'm wondering if this had part of that.
Like a cultural shift.
Yeah. And,
hey, maybe we should learn how to swim in case the fuck-ups that run the boat company fuck up again.
Yeah.
Because there seemed to be a lot of that going on at the time.
Yeah. From 1900 to, like, you know, 1940. Yeah. How many boat accidents? How many people died because of ships? So, obviously, sometimes you can't, like, you know, you can't outswim cold water. You're going to get hypothermia or freeze to death. But in this case, it sounded like had they been able to swim and not been able to, you know, put on a life preserver that drowned them,
mm-hmm.
or had the extremely heavy clothing, they might have had a chance.
Well, it's interesting because the timetable where this happens is prior to the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a story here. There's elements of it where they can't access the lifeboats. Mm-hmm. They can't. You would think that by the time Titanic comes up a couple years down the road, they would have been like, okay, we really got to have our lifeboat game on.
Yeah.
And because the Slocum happened and they couldn't access those, you know, we got to really up this game and make sure that, that things are going to be okay, because we don't want to deal with another disaster.
And to some degree, they did. They had them accessible.
They took it one step further.
They just didn't plan for enough for everybody.
Yeah, they didn't accept. They didn't take it to where they should have.
Right.
They took it to, like, where the regulators then said, here's a new regulations. The goalpost really should be way the hell down here, but to save some money, we'll keep it down here and tell everybody it's okay.
Right.
And then all the sheep are like, well, they say it's okay. Must be okay. Because you don't know any better, and you're hoping that the people aren't going to be there to fuck you over.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, and they will, and they did.
And you know what? I really didn't trust anybody before we did this show, but now, after doing this show for several weeks, I trust no one.
What a great time to start feeling that way.
I don't.
Well, it's showing history just repeats itself over and over and over. And nobody likes to look at history or learn from history. And we think everything's in the distant past. And people are very shitty at ever taking lessons and applying it. People aren't good at figuring out analogies. They aren't good at going, oh, okay, well, this... You know, this is how this played out for these people in this situation. Apply this to your life. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not on a fucking boat. It's an analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the behavior. I don't care what you're on.
Yeah.
But I'm not. And then they'll argue this. And then they argue semantics.
Mm-hmm.
And they never absorb the lesson. We're in a world where all we do is argue semantics. When you can't learn the lesson, or you're incapable of learning the lesson, or you don't want to learn the lesson because the lesson's too scary to fucking learn, we argue semantics.
It's just gotten to the point where people are offended when you try and teach them anything.
Yeah.
And they just take complete offense that, you know, their way of thinking is not necessarily accurate.
Yeah.
They're not open to, oh, well, maybe that is a better way, or maybe that's true, or maybe putting iron bars in life preservers is a bad idea.
Got it up to weight, didn't it?
Yeah.
That's the argument. It's baffling. And something that I've seen recently, and I wish more people would take to heart, and this goes well beyond even everything that we're dealing with right now in our world. But it's something that, because we've gotten to this place where people are taking their opinion and using it as fact. Mm-hmm. And it was, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own set of facts.
That's correct.
And I don't give a fuck how much you want that to be a fact. If it's not a fact, it's not a fact. So if you're going to base your opinion on shit that's not real, you're just a fucking idiot. But you're not entitled to your own set of facts to go spread those things around as facts. Mm-hmm. And people are not good at deciphering between the two. Mm-hmm. Fact and opinion. And when you point that out, it's like, oh my God, you're such an asshole. How can you say that?
I'm offended. You're so quick to judge.
Yeah, you're judging. It's like, the world needs a little bit more of that. Because it would keep us out of shit if we could all be like, look, somebody fucked up. Got to fix the problem. Mm-hmm. But yeah, should we continue on with the General Slocum?
Sure. It's more fun than what's going on in the real world.
A ship that sinks with all these people. Continuing on. By the time the General Slocum sank in the shallow water at North Brother Island, just off the Bronx shore, an estimated 1,021 people had either burned to death or drowned. There were 321 survivors. Five of the 40 crew members died. The 1904 Coast Guard report estimated the following figures for casualties of a total of 1,388 persons in the disaster. The captain lost sight in one eye owing to the fire. Reports indicate that Captain Van Schlack deserted General Slocum as soon as it settled, jumping into a nearby tug, along with several crew. Some say his jacket was hardly rumpled, but other reports stated that he was seriously injured. He was hospitalized at Lebanon Hospital. Many acts of heroism were committed by the passengers, witnesses, and emergency personnel. Staff and patients from the hospital on North Brother Island participated in the rescue efforts, forming human chains and pulling victims from the water. Eight people were indicted by a federal grand jury after the disaster. The captain, two inspectors, and the president, secretary, treasurer, and commodore of the Knickerbocker Steamship Company. Only Captain Van Schlack was convicted. He was found guilty on one of three charges: criminal negligence for failing to maintain proper fire drills and fire extinguishers. The jury could not reach a verdict on the other two counts of manslaughter. He was sentenced to 10 years imprisonment. He spent 3 years and 6 months at Sing Sing Prison before he was paroled. President Theodore Roosevelt declined to pardon Captain Van Schlack. He was not released until the Federal Parole Board, under the William Howard Taft administration, voted to free him on August 26, 1911. He was pardoned by President Taft on December 19, 1912. The pardon became effective on Christmas Day. After his death in 1927, he was buried in Oakwood Cemetery in Troy, New York. The Knickerbocker Steamship Company, which owned the ship, paid a relatively small fine despite evidence that they might have falsified inspection records. The disaster motivated federal and state regulation to improve the emergency equipment on passenger ships. The neighborhood of Little Germany, which had been in decline for some time before the disaster, as residents moved uptown, almost disappeared afterward. With the trauma and arguments that followed the tragedy and the loss of many prominent settlers, most of the Lutheran Germans remaining in the Lower East Side eventually moved uptown. The church whose congregation chartered the ship for the fateful voyage was converted to a synagogue in 1940 after the area was settled by Jewish residents. The victims were interred in cemeteries around New York, with 58 identified victims buried in the Cemetery of the Evergreens in Brooklyn. Many victims were buried at the Lutheran Cemetery in Middle Village, Queens, now Lutheran All Faith Cemetery, where an annual memorial ceremony is held at the historical marker. In 1906, A marble memorial fountain was erected in the north central part of Tompkins Square Park on Manhattan by the Sympathy Society of German Ladies, with the inscription, "They are Earth's purest children, young and fair." The sunken remains of the General Slocum were salvaged and converted into a 625-ton gross register ton barge named Marilyn D., which sank in the Atlantic Ocean off the southeast coast of New Jersey, near Stratmere and Sea Isle City during a storm on December 4th, 1911, while carrying cargo of coal. All four people aboard, Marilyn survived the sinking. On January 26, 2004, the last surviving passenger from the General Slocum, Adela Wotherspoon, died at the age of 100. At the time of the disaster, she was a six-month-old infant. Wotherspoon was the youngest survivor of the tragedy that took the lives of her two older sisters. When she was 1 year old, she unveiled the Steamboat Fire Mass Memorial on June 15, 1905, at Lutheran All-Faith Cemetery in Middle Village, Queens. Before Wotherspoon's death, the previous oldest survivor was Catherine Connolly, who was 11 years old at the time of the accident.
I'm glad that at least there was some justice in putting the captain in jail.
I'd go spit on his grave if I was there, if I ever came across it while wandering through a graveyard.
I just don't understand why he was pardoned after parole.
Power? Friends maybe. In high places?
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, how do you look at any of this and go, we'll pardon you? Why wouldn't you just let him do his term and live out the rest of his life? Why are we doing an intervening step going, oh, let's pardon you?
Maybe it's just me, but I am a firm believer you go down with your ship.
Sure.
If you're going to lose your passengers, you go down with your ship.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he jumped to another boat and was slightly injured, but, you know, fairly okay, that just makes you automatically a piece of shit.
Yeah. All these years later, mm-hmm. feels good to kind of drag his name through the mud a little.
Yeah.
Because it's a piece of shit. If you're in his lineage, if you're like his great, great, great grandkids, do you ever bring this up? Do you ever like, he was my asshole? Or do you just like, I don't know who he is? Because you never really did.
Well, and you know, if you are a descendant of this person, it's not your fault.
No.
But he's still
a piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, you still have things like this happening to this day. Costa Concordia, captain to the same shit.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit too.
He got off right away. I believe he went to jail. I don't have that information directly in front of me, but that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, where's the captain? He abandoned the ship while it was going down and people were freaking out and not knowing what to do.
Well, I mean, even recently, a much smaller scale, but one very, you know, significant to us, mm-hmm. was the duck boat accident.
What happened with
the captain? He didn't let them put their life preservers on,
yeah.
and he survived.
That's true. At that point, you know, when somebody's saying don't do it, I say fuck it, do it. You know, and that's what you kind of got to go with sometimes on your gut is, you know, like, no, it's okay. If you feel like it's like a life or death thing, don't give a fuck what other people say.
I mean, one of the most haunting images I've seen was when they pulled it up. The first thing that came to the surface were all these life preservers
mm-hmm.
just floating to the top.
Yeah.
I just don't trust people at all.
Really? I don't get that vibe.
I don't.
I know. It's, and that whole debacle, we're talking about in Branson, Missouri a couple years ago. Was it 2 years ago? 1 year ago?
It was 2 years
ago. 2 years ago. We were living there for about a year, and this storm came into town. Wasn't a surprise storm. as some total fucking idiots would like to have you believe, meaning a good chunk of the population. And you would look at, we're watching the storm coming in from another part of the state, warning after warning after warning, hour after hour after hour, this thing is coming in. And they went out on their boats, on the duck boats, and then this thing comes in, and then they're saying, oh, we didn't know the storm was coming. How do they know this? How would anyone have known the storm was coming? Fucking radar that everyone's looking at?
The thing is, they knew exactly the storm was coming and they were trying to beat it because they changed their route. Instead of doing the driving tour portion first, which is what they typically do, and then they do the lake portion second, they switched it and they said, let's go do the lake portion first, try and beat the storm, and then we'll do the driving portion second.
So they didn't have to refund tickets.
Yeah.
Is what it all came down to. Yeah. And then eventually... the company got, well, they pulled the, out of that market, their duck boats. And then they put up another business in that spot where they're trying to basically profit off of first responders, is how I view it, because it's a view, it's a it's an attraction that it's like, how are you, you're trying to make money is off of this image? Mm-hmm. That's I take it as very fucked up, and that's in no way to denigrate a first responder because those are the heroes here, but it's fucked up when the company that is responsible for this shit creates an attraction that tries to like make money off of the image.
Yeah,
that to me is like, are you fucking serious? And the thing is, now it's not a lot of people going, what the fuck? I find that just really disgusting.
Yeah. I have nothing else to say. It's very hard to talk about.
Okay. So, yeah. So this shit has been going on forever, as we're learning on the dark side of Wikipedia. The General Slocum Disaster. If you like the program, please do subscribe to us, whatever platform it is you are listening to us on.